Well, welcome to the second week of our series called Love Your Neighbor, Even That One. We all have those who bring out the best in us, but there are some relationships that test our patience and try our limits. In this series, we're learning how to navigate the gauntlet of difficult, demanding, and troublesome people in our lives and still find joy and peace in spite of them. We're walking through five real-world struggles involving other people, and how Jesus teaches us to respond with wisdom, grace, and love. Last week, we talked about one kind of struggle. When voices try to tell you who you should be, what you should believe and think, and how you should live. We said that if you're not careful, you can start believing those voices and forget who you really are. But other people don't get to define you. They can't determine your value, your worth. They can't control your destiny. Only God can do that. And God has already put greatness in you, so you don't need more approval, more applause from other people. You're already more than enough just the way you are. And when you stop living for what other people think, you'll start living for God's purposes and be much happier. Now, today I want to talk with you about a second challenging situation. I want to talk with you about when people pull you down. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus told his disciples to not worry about what they were going to eat or drink or the kind of clothes they would wear. He reminded them that God not only provides, he provides more than enough. He is Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. And since God gives us everything we need and more, those things don't really belong to us. They belong to God. We're not the owners, we're the stewards. A steward is someone who is trusted to take care of someone else's property. Now, in the gospel, Jesus told a story about a rich man who left home to go to a wedding. And back then, weddings could take a long time, up to a week or more, depending on the travel. So his servants had no idea when he would actually come back. His return would be a surprise to them, so they had to remain faithful, focused, and ready to welcome him home at any time, at a moment's notice. The rich man trusted his servants to work hard and do what was right while he was away. He gave them lots of responsibilities and expected them to come through. This is what Jesus expects of us. He has left us in charge as his servants, his stewards, to take care of things while he's gone. We don't know when, but one day Jesus will come back. Scripture says he'll return like a thief in the night. That means it'll be a surprise, which is why Jesus says in the gospel, be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant upon his arrival. They will be richly rewarded. But the ones who were not vigilant, not prepared, who were slacking off, relaxing, kicking up their feet, the ones who thought the boss would be much longer in coming home, they will be punished. Here's the principle. You're not here by accident. You are not on this planet just to take up space. You are here on assignment. You have a purpose to achieve, a destiny to fulfill, good work to do for God. And it's easy to let other people waste your time and distract you from your calling. Some people will just drain you, right? You probably have people in your lives like this. They just drain you. They take everything, your time, your energy, your peace, and still leave you feeling like you haven't done enough for them. Other people will pull you down in other ways. They'll tempt you to compromise your values, get you off track with their agendas, things they want to do. I had a friend like that in high school. He was rowdy, and he had these harebrained ideas and wild schemes to have fun. He was very creative in that way. One time, for example, we went to a store. He was driving, and we went to a store and picked up some whistles, orange vests, and white gloves. We drove to a nearby intersection, a busy one, where people were coming off the freeway. We got out of the car, put on the gloves and the vests, and put the whistles in our mouths, and guess what? Started directing traffic. And people actually obeyed us, a couple of teenagers, 16-year-olds, directing traffic. They obeyed us. And it's kind of funny to think about, but at the time, it did seem like it was harmless fun. But looking back on it, I realized it was not good. It was dangerous. We could have caused an accident, even hurt someone. It was wrong, and after that, I felt terrible. And that was a turning point for me. I realized that if I kept following my friend's lead, I was quickly going to go down the wrong path. And I was right, because a couple of years later, he got arrested, forget this, driving his car down a flight of stairs in front of the girls' dormitory on the college campus that he attended. What happened? He never grew out of the mischief. I have learned how important it is to make sure the wrong people are not speaking into your life. And that's true not as teenagers only, but at any age. Not everyone who's fun is faithful. Not everyone who makes you laugh is going to help you grow. It's easy to get off track when people tempt you to compromise. Oh, join in the gossip, no big deal. Go to places you know you shouldn't go. Listen to things, watch things you know you shouldn't. Cut corners at work. Ignore your values like you know you shouldn't. Just like that servant in the gospel who was slacking off, relaxing, partying too much, mistreating the others, Jesus is saying to us, watch out. You don't need the wrong people getting you off course. If you want to avoid being pulled down, you have to avoid the wrong people. God is the doorkeeper of our lives. He opens the door and sends the right people in to help us be productive, reach new levels, achieve dreams, pursue meaningful opportunities. And he closes the door, keeps the wrong people away. But when we don't listen, when we override his guidance, that's when the headaches come, the frustrations begin, and the problems emerge in our lives. Second reading today talks about the faith of a man named Abraham. Abraham was a well-to-do guy, came from a wealthy family in a prosperous city called Ur, located in ancient Mesopotamia. And despite all that he had, when God told him to leave everything behind, Abraham listened. Scripture says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. Can you imagine that? That took great faith and courage. But here's where Abraham went wrong. God told him not to bring any of his extended family members along, to leave them behind. But instead, Abraham chose to invite his nephew Lot to come along with him. And that single decision led to so many problems, not just for Abraham, but for all the Jewish people down the line. First off, Abraham and Lot were very wealthy. They had a lot of herds and flocks, you know, a lot of animals. And when they both arrived in the new land, resources were more limited. And it ended up that their men, who were in charge of the herds and flocks, were in conflict all the time. They were fighting and arguing about who had the right to which territory. It got so bad that eventually Abraham and Lot were forced to split. And that forced Abraham to give up a part of the promised land to Lot. That wasn't part of the plan. And not only that, but when the two men went their separate ways, Lot settled in an area that was unstable. There was a lot of fighting. And he eventually became entangled in a war that he had nothing to do with, but he was taken captive. And so Abraham had to raise an army and rescue his nephew at great expense and great risk to his own life. And if that weren't enough, that whole series of events created serious complications for all the Israelites down the line with an enemy who would come back to haunt them generations later. Now, I know that Abraham meant well. I mean, Lot had just lost his father. Abraham wanted to take his nephew under his wing, offer him a new place, a fresh place to start, show him some kindness. But it only led to disagreements, violence, and a whole lot of trouble for Abraham. This is what can happen when we let the wrong people stay in our lives. It can easily pull us down. I heard about this young man who played basketball in high school. In 1996, his dream came true. He was drafted into the NBA by the Charlotte Hornets. But before he could play a single game, they traded him to another team, said they had changed their minds, that he was of no use to them after all. You can imagine how that might have affected a young man like that, straight out of high school. The experts telling him that he wasn't good enough, didn't have what it takes, didn't have the talent. He could have let those opinions pull him down, keep him from a bright future, the opportunity to make a positive impact on the world through sports. But instead, he stayed faithful. He kept doing the right thing. He kept working hard and being his best. He let the rejection fuel him. It made him stronger, better, more committed. That young man went on to win 5 world championships. He made the All-Star team 18 times in a row, was awarded Most Valuable Player 4 times, and the league became the league's scoring champion not once but twice in his career. 18 years later, on the last night before his final game with the NBA before he retired, Kobe Bryant posted a picture of himself on social media with a caption that read, "June 26, 1996, they told me they had no use for me. I hate sports, and that still moves my heart when I hear that. Don't let other people keep you from your greatness, your purpose. I do not care how old you are or what stage of life you are in. God has a plan for your life right now. He has a purpose for you to fulfill. And when you face opposition, when other people pull you down, intentionally or unintentionally, and they say you can't do it, and they distract you from your purpose, when they get you off track, that's when you know you have to let them go. Even friends can sometimes hold you back without meaning to. You know, they can just get you all wrapped up in their problems and conflicts and their own agendas and things like that. They don't mean to, they're good people, but that's sometimes what happens. And without meaning to, they can also shake your confidence, giving you good advice. Oh, you're never going to be able to do that. They'll shake your confidence and make you question yourself, your dreams, and the future that God has ordained for you. There have been several times in my life, and I'm sure in yours, where I've had to walk away, quietly walk away from people when God told me they are not right for me. A line was crossed, and they're not right for me, and they're not good for the purpose that God gave me. First reading today, the Israelites followed God's instructions on that first night of the first Passover back in Egypt long, long ago. They didn't know what they were doing or why they were doing it, slaughtering a lamb and applying the blood to the doorposts of their homes. But they did what God asked. They were faithful. And because of their obedience, he led them out of slavery into freedom the very next day. But when they got out into the desert, it was a different story. They started quarreling with Moses, complaining about God, complaining to God, being unfaithful, ungrateful. And one time, Moses went up the mountain to pray. He was gone a long time. The people started feeling antsy, restless, worried if he was ever going to come back. They took matters into their own hands, and they did the only thing they knew how to do. They went back to what their friends in Egypt taught them. They built a golden calf and started worshiping it instead of the one true God. And when Moses came down the mountain and saw it, he got so frustrated, so upset, he smashed the stone tablets containing the Ten Commandments. Why did this happen? Because the Israelites, at that moment, let the wrong voices speak into their lives. See, they had left Egypt, but in reality, Egypt had not left them. This is what can happen when you allow bad influences to stay in your life. It can easily pull you down. I know it's not easy to walk away from people, and I'm not saying you should always do that. There are times when you have to stand strong and be with people, even when they're difficult. But sometimes you do have to walk away, and I know it's not easy. You don't want to disappoint people, let them down, create a conflict, but look at what Scripture says. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Hear me clearly, please. It is not selfish to establish and set healthy boundaries. It is not selfish to follow God's agenda for your life instead of someone else's. Abraham eventually had to leave Lot behind. The Apostle Paul cut ties with people in his own community who were creating conflict and division. Even Jesus walked away from those who threatened to undermine his mission. Your assignment on this earth is too important to let other people pull you down. The gospel today says, much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. You have been entrusted with a great gift. Your future is ordained by God, but it's up to you whether you will stay the course or let other people set you back. When you stay vigilant, like Jesus was saying in the gospel, remain focused, set healthy boundaries. Let God be the doorkeeper of your life, bringing the right people in and keeping the wrong people out. When you stand strong and protect your mission and distance yourself from people who are bad influences in your life, then you will be ready to step into the future God has been preparing for you, a bright future with great things, great opportunities and blessings and victory and healing and abundance, and most of all, a great, great calling on your life.